Praise the Lord. I'm very glad the Lord doesn't grade us on how formal and organized we are. But He looks at our hearts, doesn't He? And I appreciate everything that we've been able to share this morning. And it may seem strange during the Christmas season to emphasize so much about what really normally is connected with Easter. But they're pretty connected, aren't they? There's no other reason for Him coming except what happened at the cross. And surely that is the ultimate example of someone who gave everything he had. And you talk about the ultimate example of love and what the kingdom of God is about, there it is in a nutshell, because that is our example as to where He wants us to follow and how He wants us to be. You know, we talk about how amazing it is and what an example of love it is, and it is that. We have so many earthly examples of what love we think is. And pretty much all of our examples of what we think it defines love are pretty selfish. It's what makes me feel good, what meets, you know, scratches my itches and all that kind of thing. But the love that comes from God is so focused on others that if it costs everything, He's willing to do it. What an amazing thing. And what an example, again, that is for us. You know, recently I was working on a transcript of an upcoming broadcast. I think it starts next week and it's a two-week deal. And it was something I preached last year at Christmas. And as I read it, the thoughts and the truth of it just grabbed me. You know, it's like I said, did I say that? You know, I believe the Lord got in it. But it had to do with humility. What is real humility? And the ultimate example of humility is God Himself. We think of humility as acting humble so that we can get something from somebody important, but the ultimate example of humility is caring about somebody that is, by every measure, beneath you. What is man, David wrote, that you were mindful of him, the Son of Man, that you care for him. And you look at the one who came that first Christmas, whenever it was. Lord knows when he actually came, but anyway, that's when we celebrate it. But think about the one who it was that came. He was with the Father before the world was. It was through Him that everything was created. This is somebody that not only created all the trillions of stars, the billions of galaxies, however many there are, and stretched out across unimaginable distances, and the Bible says He maintains them now. He upholds them with His word of power. This is somebody pretty important. And yet He came down and showed a heart of love for the lowest of the low. And it wasn't just that He was going to hand out a treat or something, or, you know, a little candy bar, or just show them some kindness in passing. The only way that He could accomplish the Father's purpose cost Him everything. You think of how human beings value this life and what they think it can give and what they try to make get out of it, and gratifying this desire and that one and preserving it at all costs. And yet He was willing. In fact, it even speaks about Him having a joy in Him as He faced it. Now, I know he went through in the garden and the awfulness of what He had to go through to get there, but it was the joy that was set before Him that enabled Him to do that. And He did that for somebody like me. Oh God, have you ever seen yourself in the light of God's holiness? In the light of how pure and how amazing He is. Think of how it affected Isaiah. We pointed the example many times. He saw Jesus before He ever came as a baby. And it just totally rocked his world when he realized, I may be a prophet, God may have even used me, but I have nothing. Nothing whatsoever that could ever qualify me to be in a place like this. And yet here's somebody who came to earth and was willing to become a little baby. And then not to come as a king to reign in the sense that we think of it, not to be somebody important in the world, but to be rejected by the world. Satan didn't understand what was going on. Satan had a kingdom, wasn't he? He was the god of this world. He was a world system that absolutely had enslaved every one of Adam's children. We had no hope. Not one ounce of hope did we have. And here was the Son of God coming down and becoming one of us. Oh, the kingdom of darkness was just rejoicing. Oh, look at the opportunity we have. We can end this and take over. And the threat will be, it will be gone. All these promises of a kingdom, ha ha. And the devil had no idea what it takes for the kingdom of God to become real. It takes not rising up and having this war that we think of it. It took giving up everything, renouncing the world, everything that it stands for, being willing to let go of every bit of it and say, I lay it down. And not only that, I am laying it down. It's not just an example to so people can say, wow. When I go to that cross, Jesus could have said or did say, now is the judgment of this world. You want to understand what the cross was about? It was about Jesus having come among us, actually becoming a representative of a cursed creation, taking its penalty, its destiny upon himself, and allowing his Father to pour out the judgment that set upon him, that set in motion what is going to happen to this world. There is no future for this world. We've talked about that so many times. The destiny of this world is utter destruction. God's not going to allow any of this corruption to lead, to linger. It's going to be gone. But there he was, stepping in to become the representative, and the devil killed him and thought, oh boy, we got him now. And then you know what happened after 3 days. He rose up, and how many, we sang about all those things this morning. Oh, what a powerful day that was. His own followers didn't get it until after the fact. You know, when they, we're talking about communion in some ways this morning, because that's what we're planning on celebrating, Lord being willing. The first communion, the disciples participated, didn't have any idea what it was really about. And it happened during the Passover celebration. And they were celebrating what God had done to deliver his enslaved people from a kingdom called Egypt. And there was a judgment that was about to be poured out. But God made a provision, and every household was to take a lamb. It represented the lamb that was slain once. And every one of them roasted that lamb with the bitter herbs, and they ate it. But they didn't just do that. They took the blood, didn't they, that was shed when that animal died, and they took and they smeared it on the doorposts of their house. And God's promise was, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. What hope do you and I have to escape the judgment that is coming upon this world except the blood of Jesus? And so that's what the Lord was foreshadowing with the bread and the wine. And they ate it, they partook of it. And you know, it was, they didn't understand it. I think they understood, obviously they understood it later. But it was necessary for them not just to say, wow, thank God for all of this, but to take it personally. Eating it causes it to become part of me. I need to actually ingest what he did. It needs to become personal and real to me. Because what hope does a sinner like me have to stand before a holy God except the blood was shed? That's the one thing that stands between me and judgment. Thank God that he was willing to go to the nth degree to lay down everything he had for somebody like us. Wow. Is it any wonder that Paul, in talking to the Corinthians and writing to them, and talking about what he had shared and the truths, I know he shared many truths, but the center of it was always one thing. It was Jesus Christ and him crucified. There is no other hope that for anybody here or anybody who hears this except what happened. And I need to be on board with that completely. He laid down everything. He renounced the world. He renounced sin. He renounced everything this world stands for. And said, I am doing this in the hope that when I let go of all of this, I'll get something back. I'm going to have a new life. And that's what he came forth with. Boy, when he came forth, it wasn't the old creation coming back. It was a brand new creation, a brand new life, the kind that can never... It's God's life. You can't kill that. Praise God. Praise God. And the example that he left of what happens to those who lay down their lives and give them to him, identify with him on that cross, is what happened 3 days later when he came out of that tomb. Folks, you and I are called today to lay down our lives, aren't we? That's what it means to be identified with him. There are two kingdoms. One is reigned by this being we call Satan or Lucifer or whatever name you want to use. And the other one is reigned by Jesus Christ. They are two separate kingdoms. You can't be a citizen of both. We're born citizens of a world and a creation that will perish. But I'll tell you, those who are his, those who receive what the benefit of what he went to the cross to accomplish, we lay down our lives, we renounce citizenship in Satan's kingdom and everything it stands for, and we're crying out and we're putting all of our hope, not in anything, any goodness in us, any works we can do, but entirely in what Jesus did on that day of the cross. Praise God, this is my body which is broken for you, which is given for you, which is for you, depending on the translation. This is the blood that was shed. It was for you. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for you and for me. You talk about humility. You talk about values that this world knows nothing about. Praise God. Praise God. One of the... I don't plan to be necessarily to be up here a long time, but I just want to share the thoughts that I felt like the Lord quickened to me. So we'll see what the Lord has. Again, we don't have a program. But one of the things that Paul emphasizes, and you can look this up later in 1 Corinthians 10, I believe, he's talking in the context about people who had a question about eating meat because the meat that they sold in the markets was dedicated to a heathen deity. Okay, they went to the temples, and they dedicated to demons, really. And so, I shouldn't eat that, and they were worried about that. But there were literally the people who were part of that culture. It was part of the culture that when I eat meat, I am sharing in the worship of that deity. There's a participation. There's something. It's more than just eating meat. Okay? And so, while Paul says, yes, God has set us free from that connection, he does make the comparison between what these heathen people do and what we do when we partake of the bread and the wine. Okay? Those who eat of the bread and those who drink the wine or grape juice or whatever, we are participating, sharing, participating. This is a way for me by faith to say, I'm part of that. I am laying down my life as well. I am part of that kingdom and not this one. I am totally identifying myself with him. Did he not say in many places, those who are baptized into Christ we died with Christ, didn't we? See, it's more than just him dying for us. It's us dying. It's a way that we have to die and to let go of this life so we can have another one. That's what the gospel is about. It's not about doing this, doing that, and believing this and believing that. Some of those things have their place. But I'll tell you, it comes down to laying down our lives and becoming his. Praise God. It is an all or nothing. It's we have the expression, are you in? Yeah, I'm all in. Well, that's the only way the gospel works. We got to be all in. We're either with Jesus or with Satan. And anybody who's not with Jesus 100% is still with Satan, and they don't know it. We need him. But it's his power. The same power that brought him out of the grave is the power that's available to take us all away in all of our weaknesses, to cleanse us from sin. He has absolutely, by one sacrifice, he's taken care of all that's necessary to take us all the way home. To God be the glory. We don't have to be thinking, oh God, I've got to live up to it. I've got to do this. Or I might lose it. Oh, if we put ourselves in his hands by faith and just surrender and live for him, he takes care of the power that we don't have. I don't have it. Anybody here got the power to make yourself a fit for heaven or for a new creation? I don't. Thank God. But you know, there's another area of truth, and these are things we've heard many times. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. We know that Jesus came out of the tomb with a new body, don't we? It wasn't like this one. Didn't have anything wrong with it. He could disappear at will. He could rise into the air. I mean, this creation had no hold on him. It was free. It was absolutely eternal. And the promise of God is that when he comes back, every believer, Old Testament, New, whatever, will all meet him together and we will have a body like his. But there's another body that Jesus acquired when he came forth and when he came on the day of Pentecost. Who is that? What is that? That's the body of Christ. That's the connection that is formed when we truly surrender our lives to him and hand them over to him. We become not just sort of distantly connected to him as though we're affiliated in some. We become part of him. That's how real it is. My hand, I can look at it and say, there's a hand, it's an it, but that hand is part of me. And usually it does what I want it to. Not always. But you get the point. We are literally connected in the Spirit. There's a connection that is formed that is real. That has more to do than just being members of religious something or other. We are literally a part of him. And every one of us is equipped to perform a function in the whole, just as my hand is able to reach out and grab something, my feet are able to carry me somewhere. Every one of us is meant to have supernatural ability to help one another. I don't have that. There's nothing that originates in what I had when I was born into Adam's family that can help you. Doesn't matter. Smart, dumb, you name it. It doesn't matter. But when God comes by his Spirit and imparts a power, I can help you, but it's not me, it's him in me. But it's you, it's him in you, helping me and strengthening me. We can share God's life among each other. So all that he died for, all that he rose for, also is connected to the fellowship of the saints, to our connection one to another. And when we celebrate what he did, that's part of it. It's not just that, look what he did, it's look what he's made us. How much, by the way, did he give to save you? Everything. Isn't that what he's looking for from us? To hand over this earthly life. Yes, there are things we need to do here and all that, but they don't own us. The purpose for which we live is the kingdom of God and to fulfill our place in relationship one to another. That doesn't mean everybody has to get up here, but all the just the words that we speak, the prayers that we pray, the encouragement that was mentioned so much last week, all the things that cause us to help one another in our personal relationships, they matter in eternity. What are you accomplishing in this world? Everything you accomplish in the natural sense is going to be burned up. But here's a God who has come down with such incredible humility and love and brought us to a new life where we can accomplish things that will last forever. Wow. You want to just hold back and live your own life? Lord, I'm yours. Think of how, look at Paul's testimony and how God transformed that Pharisee who hated Christ, hated Christians, did everything he could to stamp it out until the Lord got a hold of him. And he realized he was fighting against God through Jesus. And there was a time in his ministry when he had finished. He'd covered Greece, he'd covered Asia Minor, and there were churches everywhere. They were flourishing, they were going on. And his burden at that point was to take a trip back to Jerusalem. Part of it was to carry an offering because the saints in Jerusalem were having a hard time. And it was only right that the people who had the ability helped them out. They were under a lot of persecution and had need, so there was a lot of money that they took. And everywhere that Paul went on that trip, people were warning him. The Lord was warning him and telling him what was going to happen. You're going to be thrown in jail. You're going to be persecuted and so forth. And everybody said, oh, no, don't go, don't go. He says, why do you weep and break my heart? I'm ready to lay down everything. I'm ready to lay down my life for the Lord. If only I can finish what he's called me to do. This life means nothing to me. The only purpose that I have for this life is to help others, to be a vessel through whom Christ can live and work. You see how what we're talking about, Jesus going to the cross, is meant to filter down and be expressed, not just in what he did for us, but in who and what we are and how we live and how we relate one to another. So it's not just... Well, one of the things that was mentioned in 1 Corinthians 10, and I don't think this is a form you have to keep, but apparently when they celebrated what we call the Lord's Supper, they would take one loaf and break it up so everybody had a piece of that loaf. And he said, part of the symbolism of that is that we're really one loaf. We may be a lot of individuals, but we're really all one. We're connected together. And so the celebration that we have, yes, it's remembering him. It's honoring him. It's going back to the center. But it's also looking outward from what God did in that center into the results and how that affects us. And what does that mean for us and who we are and what we're about? Praise God. There is so much in this. And again, you could take any one of these subjects and go all over the place with it, but I just felt like the Lord wanted me to not necessarily preach a long sermon. I know everybody says, praise God. But I felt like he wanted to really emphasize some of the essence of it. It's the love of God, the humility of God, the willingness of Christ to come, the one who created everything to come and live among us, and not hold anything back from what it took to rescue unworthy sinners. And those who are willing from the heart to give themselves to him and put all of their hope in what he did, that his blood is able to erase my sins, to eliminate this state of enmity that I had with God. I was his enemy. I was a willing subject of Satan, even though I didn't maybe worship him outwardly, just living for myself. I was a citizen of Satan's kingdom. And he woke me up and he showed me what I really was. That there was a God, there was judgment coming. And that I couldn't do anything about it, but Jesus did. The Father did. It was his love that was expressed in what his Son did. And he did everything necessary to set me free. And all he wants is my repentance toward God. I'm turning away from my own way and from my sins. I'm not going to go that way anymore. But I don't have the power to do it. But I'm also looking to you for the cleansing and the new life that comes because of Jesus Christ. Praise God. All of that is involved in what we're thinking about this morning. I thank God that he came. was willing to come as a little baby. But all of that was focused on the cross and what came out of that. And we lift that up this morning. Not just to say, wow, isn't that amazing what he did, but to say, this is part, I'm part of that. I laid down my life to be part of him and part of his kingdom. And Lord, help me to live with that consciousness that it's not just me and Jesus, or it's not just this private little thing. I'm part of something that's bigger than myself. And how many times have we emphasized Romans 12? We've got a lot of different bodies here, don't we? We've each got one. And some of them are getting older. We're feeling it. But what did Jesus tell us to do with these bodies? Offer them as a living sacrifice. Not many sacrifices, but there is a jointness to it. We together offer him our bodies so that we can present one sacrifice to him. And doesn't he go immediately after the change of mind that it has to happen into the body of Christ and how we're each given something that can help somebody else? You see the connection. We are to present ourselves to him so that, like Jesus, who lived among us, lived an earthly life, but he didn't live it for his own earthly benefit, did he? He came as a servant. He who was the creator in the beginning became a servant to people like us. And he calls us to become so connected to him and to one another that that's what we live for. We love one another. We serve one another. And he gives us the power and the strength to do that as long as we're here. That's what needs to define our lives. It's not what we accomplish here and who we are and, you know, making a name for ourselves. It's not about us. It's about him. Lift up the name of Jesus, and his kingdom is absolutely being formed in us. And I'll tell you, every day is a day closer to it being done. And yet the Lord, as we said many times, the Lord's not going to leave anybody behind. We can pray and we can be a part of all that he's doing and just look to him to absolutely finish the work that he's promised to do. And I'll tell you, it's not going to be long. But today we can remember, we can proclaim is another word that's used in describing what this is about. We proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Praise God. And so we don't make a lot of out of a ceremony or do it very often, but it's certainly appropriate that we honor the Lord in this way. There's no special virtue in a ceremony, but those who from the heart will worship him. Praise God. Don't worry. He gets it. And there's a strength and a blessing that's going to come into us, and it's not just for us so we can feel good. It's so that we can be a blessing to everybody else. I'll tell you, we serve an awesome Savior who performed a complete work. It did everything necessary to take us all the way home. To him be the glory. Praise God.
Praise God. I appreciate what the Lord has shared with us this morning. I appreciate the song service too. And a lot of those songs, the cross will never lose its power. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it shall never lose its power. I'm thankful for that this morning. And that's what we're going to be partaking here. I appreciate the comments that have been made. And just as I've been praying for this service and looking towards it, I'm just so thankful for what Christ has done. I'm going to read just a couple of scriptures here. One of them that came to me, it's in... And it's actually in 1 Corinthians 15. This is Paul. He says, "For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance." First importance. Nothing else matters except for, well, it's not that he said nothing else matters, but if we don't get this right, we've missed everything that our life is called to be. He says that Christ died for our sins, not only according to the scriptures, or it says according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Not only has he written it down for us, but we know that it has to be revealed to us by his spirit, by the living Christ. That coming out of the grave, that's what made it real. Doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter that it was written down, but when he came forth, it made everything that he had told us come to life. in a way that never been done before. And I'm thankful for that this morning. I had another scripture here. This is Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except this, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Praise God. I tell you what, there's nothing we can add. There's nothing we could do. All we can do is accept His gift of love for us. So I'm thankful for that this morning. I had a couple other scriptures, but let's just go ahead and pray here before we do this. Lord, we just bow before Your throne here this morning, God. As we go forth, Lord, I am so thankful, God, for the reality, God, of Your living, risen Savior for us, Jesus Christ, this morning, God. Lord, we're not doing this as a ritual, God. Lord, we want this to be made real to us each and every single day that our eyes open, God, that, Lord, You have covered us with Your blood. You are sanctifying us and creating us anew, Father. You're transforming our minds every day, Father, to spend eternity with You. But, Lord, as we go through this life, Lord, with all its trouble, its brokenness, Lord, not one of us can stand here, God, with a haughty spirit and say anything, Lord. We are here because You have brought us, Lord, into Your family, Lord. And we want to take this, Lord, this bread, this body that You have given on the cross for us, broken, because it's the only thing that could happen, God, to bring us into Your family, God, Your eternal family. And we thank You for the blood, God, that covers us every day, Father. It gives us strength, God, to get out of the bed. Lord, it gives us strength, God, to press on in Jesus' name today, Father. Lord, as we do this, Lord,